following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want to talk to you tonight. We're going to continue this series on the Holy Spirit, God without a name, because we don't know the name of the Holy Spirit. We know the name of the Father. We know the name of the Son. But we don't know what the Holy Spirit's name is. I believe the Holy Spirit has a name because everything God made and everything that, you know, God does, God has a name. So, but we'll find out when we get home what that name is. But we've been talking about confessing Jesus before men. How many of you can remember far enough back in our study on the Holy Spirit that the whole point of you being filled with the Holy Spirit But the whole point of you being filled with the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, that not many days from now, you'll be filled with power from on high. And you'll become what? My witnesses. The whole point of filling the Christian, overpowering the Christian, the power of the Spirit coming upon the believer, is so we can touch the world for Christ. And we've talked about the fact that when you were born again, the Spirit of God is that which made you alive. And I want you to look through a little slides with me here in a minute that will track that again. We did that last week, and we're going to do it again tonight. But we've been talking about this, confessing Jesus before men, every chance we get, every opportunity that He sets up. Not forcing it. How many of you remember forced witness? Was anybody witness to, or did you ever try to witness to somebody in a forced way? And I've told the story before about my sister being accosted in the name of Jesus Christ. She was a believer. Nora, my youngest sister. So let me see. If I was about 18, she was about 12, I think. 18, 16, yeah, she was 12. And she was walking downtown Long Beach, and she told me about this later on in the day. She said, I was walking down there, and she said, this guy came up to me, and he said, hey, would you pray this prayer with me? That was it. That was the whole witness. Would you pray this prayer with me? And it was the sinner's prayer from the back of a four spiritual law booklet. And she said, well, I've already prayed that prayer. And he said, well, would you pray it with me? And so she said, sure. And so she prayed it with him, and a little ways down the block, further towards downtown Long Beach, another guy comes up. Would you pray this prayer with me? Same approach. And then a third one. And she came home, she told me about it. I had just visited a church the weekend before that was launching their witnessing contest. And she got in the way of three of the contestants. And the $100 prize was to the one who could get the most people to pray the prayer. That was the witness. Thank God she was already saved, and that she had a big brother that could unravel a little bit of that for her at that time. But it's not a forced witness. You don't force it. You just look for the open door. And it's about, and this is what I'm so excited about. It's about us getting out of this building. I like this building. I know that this building was a gift from God. I know that He put us here, and He put us in this perch in the middle of the marketplace of Huntington Beach for a reason. Well, the reason is for us to reach out from here for Him. But the greatest challenge of every pastor, and I guess it would be the greatest desire on the heart of every pastor, is to every single weekend and maybe midweek service as well, see that building empty out with people that are ready to invade their community in the name of Jesus. It's about getting us alive out there, not just getting us in here and filling up a building several times. We have been empowered and authorized by Jesus to invade, and we have very, very clear directives from God. We are a potentially overwhelming, loving, you might not like this word, horde of people that have been sent, I said again, to invade our world with the love of Jesus Christ, with all the resource of heaven at our request, walking through and being present in this very real and very, very broken world. I ask the rhetorical question many, many times, how many of you know a broken person or two? Yeah, and God has placed you in their life so that you do know them. And as a believer, maybe you're one of those people here tonight, maybe you haven't come to Jesus. Guess what? He brought you here to bring you to Him. And maybe a believer invited you. Maybe a friend said, oh, you got to go with me. And Jesus came looking for you. And then once he found you, he sends you out like us to go back into what I believe the Bible calls this wilderness. Sends us out into the world as voices crying in the wilderness to walk among the local wreckage that we live among, and among the lost and the perishing. And tonight I want to push this forward a little bit further. I want to talk about this just a little bit more tonight, and I am determined to leave us more time than I did last week of worship and prayer for one another. I really do believe that some of you are going to be at a place this evening of saying, I want that. I really want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, because I don't want to go back to work the same person. I don't want to go back to the job. I don't want to go back to my soccer team or whatever. I don't want to go back the same person. I want to be a different person. It's said of King Saul. He was told by Samuel, the prophet, that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will become a different person. You'll become a different man. And there really is something about the dynamic of our life that changes when we say, Lord, I'm really open to the invasion of your Spirit in my life. I don't live as a Christian that just has a few Bible facts in my head, but that truth has filtered down into my heart, and I want to make a difference for you. And I believe that there are going to be some of you tonight that want prayer for that, and we'll huddle up and we will pray and ask God to do a great work in us so he can do great work through us. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. I read one of the neatest Instagram, and I saw it on Facebook too, little tags or posts yesterday from our daughter, Shannon. Her and Jesse had been over in Europe and traveled around, and one of the sweetest things for me to hear. It was just like, I'm so glad to be back home at this place called Refuge. And I'm glad she's back too. I'm thankful. I love what God is doing here among us. And this, to hear somebody say, this place called Refuge, I love it. Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read to you from verse 15 to 21, but to set it up, we probably should go all the way to the beginning of Ephesians, but we won't. But what he has set up there in some strong, strong theology about how we get saved and then what God expects of us, what he wants to do in us. Look at verse 1. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And he really could have stopped right there and said, just go walk in love. But Paul likes to explain things like most preachers do. And so he spends more time on it, and he says, don't walk around in filth. Let fornication, all uncleanness, let it not even be named among you. He says, break off from those things that used to define your life. Be done with all of that. And then he says in verse 15, and this is what I want you to look at with me tonight, and we'll also be in 1 Corinthians 12. But he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means keep an eye on everything around you. A wise person knows their surroundings. And he said, be aware of your surroundings. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, that's it, Lord. I want to understand your will. Who here wants to know God's will for your life? Now, here's another question. I won't ask you to raise your hand on this one, but if you knew it, would you do it? If you knew it, no matter what it was, would you say, okay, Lord, I'll do that? Well, know this, that what he calls you to do, he'll equip you to do. So you never need to be afraid when he makes it clear to you what it is he wants you to do. Now, there's been times when I knew what God wanted me to do, and it wasn't that I was afraid of it. I just didn't want to do it because it meant that I'd have to humble myself. It meant that I would have to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Joy, or Bethany, or Shannon, or Jeremy, or Starlin, or you. You know, who wants to humble themselves? Who wants to just put themselves down at the point of a receiver from someone you've had an issue with? And there's times when I didn't want to do what God called me to do. But he says, therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And listen to where he goes. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That's the dissipation of your control. It's the losing of the control of your life. Don't put yourself under anything that robs you of that control. But here's the flip side of it. Isn't this great? He says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead, what's it say? Be filled with the Spirit. There's something better than a bottle. There's something better than a controlling substance. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, sing. I love this, that the very first thing he says as a response to you being filled with the Spirit is speaking and singing. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We're all called to submit, not just the next verse that the husbands love so much. Wives, submit to your husbands. Well, you know what the next verse says? It says it a little bit differently than this, but this is really what it means. Husbands, submit to your wives. You know, it says lay down your life for them. That's submission. That's to lay down your life for another person's need. There isn't a higher level of submission than to lay down your life. It says, just like Christ laid down his life. Do you remember the wrestling match he had? I don't understand this. Don't ask me to explain it. The wrestling match, the conversation between Jesus and the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Where he says, if there's another way, let this cup pass away from me. What did he do at the final? At the end, he said, I submit, Father. I'll die for them. So, but before he tells wives to submit and husbands to submit and laying down of their lives, he says, all of you, submit to one another. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Build each other up with the singing and the speaking of God's word to one another, and always give thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submit to one another. The Holy Spirit is in the center of leading us into the will of God day after day after day. Let me show you just this little progression. I don't know if we got into this last Wednesday or not. The Holy Spirit found you. I know our testimonies usually talk about when I found Jesus. You just finally opened up your eyes, and there he was, having chased you down and apprehended you, and you said, yes, Lord. And if you want to take some credit for that, well, don't, because the Holy Spirit did all that. He found you. You were born again by the Spirit of God. And then you were fed and watered by the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit found you. You were born again. And then in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, which, by the way, is how you got saved anyway. I love this passage. It says that holy men of God, moved by the Spirit, they wrote the Bible that we have. The scriptures that we have were inspired by God. That's the big word tonight. Inspired, it means God breathed. The wind of the Holy Spirit moved through the hearts and the minds of those who wrote the scripture that we hold in our hands. It was the Holy Spirit. Bible written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How did you hear about it? Somebody preached the Bible, the gospel, to you. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How did you understand it? The Holy Spirit illuminated your mind. So how much of that do we really ever get to have credit for? The Holy Spirit always working in us, leading us to Jesus, then feeding us and watering us through the Word. And then once we're filled with the Word, there's another filling, this filling that empowers us to be His witnesses. This the Greek word behind it is epi, and it's upon. You see it at the end of every NFL football game. The winning team takes the Gatorade, and they pour it over the head. They don't tell him, open your mouth, here it comes. You know, it's poured over his head, but it's a very, very different impact. When the Holy Spirit is poured upon the life of the believer, it doesn't give us the chills necessarily. It's a filling. It's an overpowering, it's an upon experience, so that we come away from that ready to be more than we were before. And the power of the Holy Spirit to speak for Jesus and to serve Jesus in a broken world. And how do you get filled? Anybody know the answer to that? How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? He gives the Holy Spirit. How does he give it? To those who, Mike says it's ask. Anybody agree with Mike? That's what Jesus said. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who simply ask. Lord, fill me. Now listen, if you ask with the wrong motive, James makes it clear, you're not going to get anything from God. If your motive, okay, Lord, fill me with the Spirit, like the guy Simon in the book of Acts, oh, I want to have that power. Ooh, I like that power. Give me that power. What will it cost me to get that power? Don't think that person's going to receive anything from the Lord if they've got the wrong motivation. But if your motivation as a follower of Jesus is, Lord, I want to be used by you. I have friends that need you. I have friends that are sick and I want to pray for them to be healed. I have friends that are in financial need and relational need. And God, I want to be able to touch their life and speak into their life and serve them in your power. Do you think the Father is going to turn away a child like that? That just says, God, I just want to glorify you in any way that I can. And the Scripture makes it very clear. If you ask, He will fill you. Don't complicate this. Don't treat the Holy Spirit like Simon did in the book of Acts. And don't shy away. Oh, I just don't know if I qualify. Man, if your heart is humble before God and you want to touch somebody in His name, you are ready. Now, what do you think what God wants to do with a believer who has been found and fed and filled? What do you think He wants to do with someone like that? Well, what do you think a general or a lieutenant or whatever the rank and file is, what do you think they want to do with soldiers or sailors or marines or pilots that are trained and submitted and they're ready? He wants to, they want to deploy them. They want to use them. The next thing is being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know that it always comes in this delineated order, like you can't be led until you've been fed up with the, not, that's a terrible way of saying it, isn't it? Until you've been filled up with the Word of God. God's ready to lead you right now tonight. These are all, again, it's sort of a circumspect thing. You keep all these things in balance at the same time. But I know with all my heart that once we're found and fed and filled, that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. And this is an everyday thing. I won't go back into the long list that I gave you last week of my stories. But in a minute, I want to hear a couple of your stories. I want to hear how God has led you just in the course of your everyday life, because that's what this is all about. This whole beautiful journey of being led by the Spirit of God. It is a daily thing. Often very spontaneous, but it might be spontaneous right in the middle of your daily routine where you stop at the same place for your coffee on the way to work and your donut that you probably shouldn't eat. And then you move on and you park in the same spot and you get there at about the same time as that same person that does, and you spend your day after day after day in the same, you know, big massive cubicles with the same people. And it might be in the middle of that routine that sometime, somewhere along the road, there may just be something that pops up that's a little bit different. An opportunity to speak for Jesus. It's an everyday thing. It's these encounters, you could call it, encounters in the key of life every single day. As you're just moving through your normal day, the spontaneous, the routine, whatever it is, it requires stepping out, though. It requires getting outside the door of your home and saying, okay, God, I'm open for business, and you're fully loaded for souls. You're fully loaded to touch souls in Jesus' name. And you're ready to obey whichever way He nudges you. There was a story I didn't tell you last week. It was on the list, and maybe the Holy Spirit let me miss it so I could share it with you tonight and tie these two things together. First flight, heading for Australia, New Zealand. I think I had moved. You know, it was one of those, oh, I think maybe I can get a better seat. And I saw this whole bank of seats that were open. I thought, oh, that would be so cool. In the middle, all four seats, flying at night, didn't care about sitting by the window. These days, I'd rather have the aisle anyway so I can get up and move around. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this would be so great. And then, out of the corner of my eye, I see and I hear a mother with two little children. And she walks into the aisle, and I'm thinking, oh, no. 13 hours, and she's got a baby in her arms, and she's got turns out a three-year-old, a very active little three-year-old that's very awake and very alive at 10 o'clock at night. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I knew it. I should have introduced myself to them in the lobby and said, I'm sure we'll be sitting next to each other, and there we were. And then her husband shows up, and he moves over, and he sits by me, and those kids were absolute robotic angels. The whole flight, there was not a peep out of them. I don't know how in the world they did it, but I got to know both the mom and the dad. Wonderful family. He was from India, raised, you know, from the time he was, I think, about a young teenager in Sydney, Australia. She was born there. That's where they met. They started their family. And we got along really great. We had a wonderful conversation. And he knew that I was a pastor. And then at one point, he turns it to tend to his children over something. I took my Bible out of my little backpack, and I wanted to start preparing, looking over the final notes for what I was going to be teaching. And I opened up my Bible, and just a few minutes later, his name is Abhinav, really wonderful guy. We're actually talking to each other by email right now. But Abhinav looks over, and he looks down at my Bible, and he said, "I've never seen one of those." I said, "What? You seriously? You've never seen one of those?" He said, "Nope, I've never seen one of those." Now, I don't know if he'd never seen one open or just anybody reading it. But we had, oh my goodness, it just opened up some doors. And he kept, as a good parent, do you hear what I just said, good parents? Any of you parents that travel with kids? As a good parent, he turned to tend his child when his child needed tending. But so the conversation kept getting interrupted over and over. But one of the last things that Abhinav said to me, and it came out of the blue. I can't remember how it fit in the conversation. He said, I'm a little concerned about death. I'm a little concerned about dying, about death. And I said, the whole message of this book is that you don't have to be. You really don't have to be. And then again, got interrupted. But I got his email, and we're talking to one another. And I'm praying for him, and he knows that. And I just, I love those encounters that I didn't set that up. I was on my way to Australia. I knew where I was going, but God set that up. Coffee last week. I usually, in the afternoon, I go one way. Every Wednesday, I go one particular way. And I thought, I'm going to go the other way. I don't know why, but I just thought, I'm going to go the other way. And this young gal in this coffee shop served me. I'd never seen her before. She was a new employee there. And whenever I walk in, the people that work there say, "Hi, Pastor Bill." And I love that. My cover is blown if I want any cover at that point. "Hi, Pastor Bill." And then they put it on the side of my cup. Pastor B or P. Bill, and that's me. But you're a pastor. I said, "Yeah." And this is a young woman who has recently moved down to Huntington Beach from a long ways away. And she said, "I haven't been involved in church for a long time. And I've just been thinking, I really, really want to get back to church." Sitting across the cafe was Isaac and Katie. I said, "They go there too. Look at them. They're younger than me. They're like your age." That's what I was saying. I didn't put it quite that way. But that was God. It was God that said, "Go there this time instead of there this time." And I didn't think that was anything. I just thought, I'm going to go this way. How many of you have had an experience like that? Well, and then you found out that your little nudge wasn't you after all, that it really, really was the Lord. Today, God just really pushed the button in my heart to pray for a particular wanderer. And I know that when he calls us to pray, he's going to answer the prayers that he inspires us to call. It was the morning service, the first morning service. The weekend we did sort of Chuck memorials here, and everybody told their stories. And I don't know, Dean, are you here? Is Dean here? Dean and Arlene, I'm not sure if Dean is in the house, but I heard his story while I was laying in bed at 5:15 in the morning, New Zealand time, and he told the story. How many of you were in the 8:30 service that morning? He told the story about Pastor Chuck picking him up hitchhiking. Remember that story, picking him up hitchhiking? And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Years ago, back in the early 70s, I remember Pastor Chuck telling a story. He said, "The other day I was going off to speak somewhere, and I would always go this way when I was going to that, whatever the location was, but," he said, "for some strange reason, I decided to take Coast Highway." He said, "And I didn't know why. I said, what am I doing on Coast Highway? Just sort of, I think I'll go Coast Highway." He said, a little ways down the road, I realized why I'd turned on the Coast Highway. I picked up this young man that was hitchhiking. And I got to, you know, share Christ with him and just speak into his life. I am convinced that that was Dean. The timing was exactly the same. And when Dean shared, and he recorded it too after service on the Sunday morning. But what he said is, it took me 40 years to get back. Took me 40 years to get back. He responded, but then went away for a while. And I just love the way that, I guess I could have lived the rest of my life and not known how those two little stories came together. But God just said to Chuck, go this way, go that way. So, okay, going to take a couple of minutes here. What has the Lord led you to do in the last little while? Yeah. Come up here a second, okay? I'm sorry to embarrass you if this embarrasses you, but I want this to get recorded too. I want this on the... Go ahead.
I was at the pier and I just prayed, Lord, give me a divine appointment. So I'm sitting there reading my Bible. This guy comes along who's homeless and says, oh, can you pray for me? I said, sure, I'd love to pray for you. Wow. So I prayed for him and he was really blessed. And so I'm leaving and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to go rest my walk. And I just had finished reading Galatians where Paul was encouraged to take care of the poor, thinking, oh no, I got to go back and try to give him some food. So I go back. Now there's four homeless guys there thinking, okay, I'm just going to offer to feed them all. So I go up and say, hey, TC, do you want some lunch? I'd be glad to buy you some lunch and I'll buy you lunch too. And other guys said no, but the guy was so blessed and I was blessed that I stepped out and stretched my dollars and bought him lunch and gave him my leftovers, reminded him to church. He's going to be coming, hopefully, next week.
Well done.
Made sure he was saved, but it's just wonderful to scary the stuff out
and
to pray for him.
Praise God. Yeah, amen. What was his name? TC. Father, we pray for TC right now. Pray you do a deep and lasting work in his heart and all the rest, Lord, that saw that that expression of love from your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. Who else? Somebody else. Quick story. How's God led you? How's he using you right now? What's he doing in you, through you? Come on, Ron. This is Ron.
I had to go to a sales meeting today, and I had to share with four women on why my wife's not afraid to die.
Hmm.
And they've got a lot of questions that I hope I can answer.
Oh, well done, man. Well done. Praise God. Right. Somebody over here. Come on. There's somebody on this side. Yeah, come on up. We could do this all night, but I'm going to give you an opportunity afterwards to tell each other what God has you doing.
Real fast. I'm not sure if I should say this, but I was at the market, and there was a homeless man out there, and he was asking for money. And I really don't like to give money out. I'd rather go buy him food. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself, well, I'm going to come back in, and I'll think about it. And I'll pray on it, come back out, and see if I should give him the money or not. So I walked out, and he asked again, do you have any money? So I took a dollar out, and I said, I'm going to give you this dollar. I said, but I don't want you spending it on alcohol or drugs or anything like that, because the Lord will curse you for this if you do that. So I gave him the dollar, and he took the dollar, and I started walking away, and he says, ma'am? And I said, yes. And he says, here's your dollar. He gave me back the dollar because I guess he was going to use it in the wrong way.
Wow.
You know. So I prayed for him still.
Oh, you know. Right on. Right on. Good for you. Man. Let me see if I can leave enough time at the end for a couple more. But that's what I'm talking about. That daily, you know, God knows the track you're going to take. He knows where he wants you. And I love the way the story I told last week about the couple in the plane. He chased them all over the world. Here a year and a half ago, when they moved from row 45 to row 40, he moved me up to row 39 that I was in from row 45. I just I love the way that God does that. And if you say to God, honestly, Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for your work today. And there's a hitchhiker there, you know, whatever it is. I know that's a frightening, scary thing. I remember picking up a hitchhiker in Desert Hot Springs one time, and I was nervous, I think. And my truck was really, really loud, too. It wasn't a quiet truck at all. And okay, I got a witness to this guy. I know I've got about 3 miles till I drop him off. And so let me get right to it. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? And we talked a little bit, but I said, do you know the Lord? And I don't think he heard the question, because his answer made no sense. But he said, no, I live with my grandmother. And I'm not sure what that had to do with, you know, knowing the Lord, if that was an option to knowing Jesus or living with grandma. So I said, no, that, I know what I mean, but take the opportunities that God gives you. What did God let you do? But there's another level, and this is what I want to hit tonight as we spend the rest of our time here. Inspired. Inspired by God. Now, you could certainly put what I've just talked about, what we've just sort of talked about, under being inspired, but I'm talking about special ops, special assignments that go beyond just this spontaneous movement of my day where he arranges an encounter with somebody that he is completely in charge of. It requires the same kind of a daily preparation, Lord, my life is yours, but this might also require more, like some planning and some patience and some team building. What I'm talking about when I say inspired, it's the ideas that God gives you for some specific kind of a ministry that you know he's directing you into. I remember back in the early 1980s when God began to direct Joy and I and our family to Australia. In 1986 or 7, we launched a ministry we called Whitefield Ministries. And that was more than just the spontaneous going about our days. It came spontaneously, it came quickly, but there was something that God was calling us to do. It was an idea. The inspired soul that I want to focus on here tonight for a few minutes, the inspired soul is the person who says, I got an idea. Where do you think that idea came from? If it has to do with reaching more people for Jesus. If it has to do with some kind of ministry that'll build up the body of Christ in a specific way, where did that idea ever come from? Maybe you woke up with a dream or just a thought that came through, an idea that began to formulate. Yeah, how many of you have seen The Shepherd of Bethlehem? I've done it, I think, almost too many times. I think it's the 27th or the 28th year. That idea came driving down Interstate 10 back in 1980-something. About 27 or 28 years ago, I'll never forget it, talking over Christmas with our worship leader, who was a good friend of mine, said, hey, this year, I want to do something a little bit different. I'd love to do maybe a dramatic presentation, and like let's say maybe like a shepherd, and the thought just came, and the movements of the shepherd came in like about a 10-minute time span, and it was probably 10 or 15 years before I ever wrote it out to where people said, oh, how can you remember that? And it's the simplest thing in the world. They were just scenes in my head that you just kind of walk into. You know the Bible scene about the shepherd. You know John the Baptist. You could talk about that. You know the next thing with the feeding of the 5,000 and the healings. And you know how Jesus died. You know how he rose. And it was just like these ideas came together in a train. And I thought, wow, Joy, would you make me a shepherd costume? And then one thing led to another. And it was a ministry that was birthed out of an idea. And I came home and I said, honey, I've got this idea. And maybe that's you. I mean, the books of church history are full of people who said, I got an idea. Amy Carmichael, I'm going to go to India, where Abhinav was from. I'm going to go to India. I'm going to minister to children, little girls who are being sexually abused every day in the pagan temples. I'm going to make them my children. How are you going to do that, Amy? Well, we'll see. I guess we'll just see. William Booth, who had an idea that became the Salvation Army, that touched millions of lives, who knows how many. Sometimes a ministry is thrust upon you like it was with Pastor Chuck. And I think one of the turning points in Chuck's ministry, if you've been around Calvary, you've heard the story about ripping down the sign that said people like us weren't allowed. He said, well, we'll rip up the carpet and we'll sit on the concrete. That was thrust upon him. But he said, I got an idea. We're not going to ask them to cut their hair. We're going to let God clean people up from the inside out. The list goes on and on and on. J. Hudson Taylor, who said, I got an idea. I'm going to go to China. I'm going to live like the Chinese. I'm going to dress like the Chinese. I'm not going to live like a Westerner. I'm going to become just like one of them. One day, and this scripture tells us this is how it happened. Well, it doesn't tell us this is how it happened. This is what happened. But I think one day, a guy by the name of James, or Paul, or Mark, or John, or Matthew, and Peter, and Jude, said, I'm going to write a book. I think I'm going to write a book. I got an idea. I'm going to write a book. And Paul says, I got a problem in Corinth. I'm going to write them two books, actually three. And it wasn't just his idea. It was the Holy Spirit that gave him that idea, and he pursued it. And he sat down with the parchment and with the pen or the quill, and thank God that he sat down one day and he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad he wrote that down? He had this, it started as an idea. Where'd it come from? It came from the Holy Spirit that said, the world needs to know this. And I don't know if he's sitting down as he's writing, thinking, oh, this is good. This is really good stuff. I don't know. But it was inspired by the Holy Spirit to breathe life and comfort to his people, and on, David one day, he just sitting, strumming his harp. He said, I got an idea. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Where'd that idea come from? Where do the ideas in your head come from? Where did you get that idea for that ministry? Andrea, you ready for this? Come on up. I contacted her husband. Yeah, come on up. I asked Chris if he was available tonight to tell us where Through the Word came from. That's a great ministry, and it's a wonderful app. This is not just another plug for Through the Word, but I haven't really heard this story. And he said, well, I can't do it, but someone far more beautiful than I can do it. And he said his wife knows the story. So tell us where Through the Word came from.
Well, Through the Word, it started, like you said, it was kind of an idea. It started back in 2005, before we had smartphones or fancy things. And he just was working with the youth, and he really had this just desire to find like a daily devotional walk through the Bible that was meaty but easy to understand and short for the youth. And he looked and looked, and he couldn't find anything. He just felt like this call, like, they need this. And so he started writing them, and he just spent a full year just pouring into making these. He called them daily Bible guides. And he made all these daily Bible guides, and Sunday mornings they would be like putting them together with the little staplers and artwork on them. They were
really
cute.
That was here, wasn't it?
That was here. It started here.
Yeah.
It all began here. And so he did that, and he poured hours and hours and made these and gave them out to everyone. And then he just kind of felt like he needed to take a break from it, like the Lord was kind of releasing him from it, and he stopped. And then we moved to Mississippi, and he got to Mississippi, and he had boxes of these daily Bible guides. And he was just like, man, I need to, you know, just felt the call, like, we need to do something with these. And so I don't remember how it happened, but he ended up at like a writer's conference out in like Tennessee or somewhere. I don't remember. I just know he got in his little car and went there. And he said there were like 80% women at this conference, and this big, handsome man. And he had these these daily Bible guides, and he was kind of looking to see if maybe he should print them. But he ended up running into this guy, one of the only other guys there, who was a techie guy. And he said, well, where ministry is, you know, starting are these things called apps. And he came home and told me all about these apps, and I'm like, what is an app? Like, I didn't even understand an MP3, but I don't understand a lot that he says. He's really smart. He's really cute. So he was, he is. So he was talking to me about these apps and how he was going to look into that, and both of us had no idea, but he just had this call, like, I know that the Lord has led me to do these, that these are supposed to go out, the people, like, his heart is just to get the Word of God out in an understandable way, a simple way that people can really grasp daily, you know, chapter by chapter, just like we learn here at Calvary, verse by verse. And so the funny thing was, it was so on his heart, and he was just, you could tell, just like, I don't know what to do. And then randomly, it just was on his heart that he should contact my cousin's husband, Ryan. And he was good friends with Ryan, but not like, they didn't text or
So this
talk.
Is how the structure came together, the,
yeah.
the
Am
plan.
Am I sharing too much?
Yeah, no.
I just can talk all night. So he was like, oh, Lord, because Ryan is a total business guy. By 21, he had like already made and sold several businesses, just a brilliant business mind. But he was like, Lord, I don't want to call Ryan because I don't even know what to say to him. But he just really felt this pressing need to call him. And this was in Mississippi, by the way. And then finally, he just was like, all right, Lord, it was just so strongly on his heart, I'm going to call Ryan. So then he texts Ryan and says, hey, Ryan, do you have a few minutes to talk? Well, Ryan calls him back and says, Chris, you won't believe it. I've just been going through Revelation, and I just have this strong desire in my heart to get the word of God out. And he's like, I don't know how, like maybe with an app or something. And he's all, but I'm not a pastor. And so in 5 minutes, I was about to email you and talk to you because I felt like I needed to talk to you about this.
Wow.
And that's how it started. And
wow.
But it's been
8 years.
Yeah,
2005,
it's been 8 years. It has been slow, it has been amazing, but it has been perseverance. And
everybody say slow.
Slow.
Patient.
Patient.
It takes patience. How many of you have ever had an idea that you thought, ooh, somebody ought to do that? Let me see the hand. Again, I just want to ask you, did you do anything with that? But thank you guys for being faithful. Thank you so much. And well done. Well done. I have a friend who says he had this belief that there was an Irishman 150 years ago, and he was sitting in his little shanty, and he was just doodling, pretty smart guy, and he's just sort of, you know, doodling and messing around with ideas and numbers, and he wrote down E equals MC squared. Nah, that would never work. And he threw it away. Not that that ever happened, but that was saved for somebody else who would do something with it. Now, I don't know. I don't know if God sometimes nudges us and we don't push it forward. We don't press forward. We don't knock on a door. We don't, you know, take that nudge from the Holy Spirit and do something with it. What ideas has God given you that just might reach more people for Christ? Or think about this, that just might fund the work of Christ. I know people that have started incredible businesses, Caterpillar tractor people. That was all about providing for the work of the Lord around the world. I heard a story a long time ago. I've never been able to find the source of it. But what do you think of when you think of grape juice? Welch's grape juice. That Mr. Welch, different spelling, Mr. Welch was a godly man. And he was concerned about alcoholics putting a cup of wine to their lips once they'd gotten saved. And he said, why don't we just make some grape juice? Why don't we start a grape juice company and we'll provide it for the church? Supposedly that's the story. I heard another great story. What's your favorite food? No. Somebody else.
Probably.
Comes in great big round.
Pizza.
Pizza. One of the greatest stories I heard is that pizza started out as an idea for a balanced meal to the homeless in the country in Europe. We can put it all on bread and we can get them everything that they need for a balanced meal. Was pizza a great idea? Yeah, and I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, it's a cool story, isn't it? But has God called you to do something? Has He called you to write a book? Has He inspired you with an idea to write a song? It won't become the 67th book in the Bible, trust me. And your song won't become the 151st psalm in the book of Psalms, but it just might nudge somebody to consider Jesus and to pick up the Bible. It might encourage a discouraged person. It might turn their heart to Jesus. May God inspire us with new ideas and fresh ideas, and may He find us obedient to follow Him. As we walk with Him, I mean, if God gives you a thought to do something for Him and to reach out to a lost soul, do you think that idea would come from the devil? You think the devil would inspire you to do something like that? I don't think so. Would you inspire your own self to go do something that was dangerous and that would make you unpopular in some circle of friends? I don't think you'd inspire yourself to do something like that. If God pushes you, nudges you, leads you to touch somebody in Jesus' name, may you be obedient. May God inspire us with ideas. I got a big idea. I can't tell you about it yet, but I got a really big idea, and I'm praying about it, and I'll let you know if it comes to fruition, and you'll never hear about it again if it doesn't. But I'm going to be praying about it. I'm going to be knocking on some doors and to see if God will give us opportunity to reach more people for Him. May God give us ideas. May He fill us with His love for lost people and His love for one another as well. Not nameless, faceless lost souls, but the ones that we know and live with and drink coffee with and ride to work with. May we be the kind of people that in obedience to Jesus, as we're led by the Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, may we be the kind of people that give the devil fits. I pray that you're the kind of Christian that the devil just hates. I heard this quote from C.T. Studd. Anybody remember C.T. Studd? What Hudson Taylor did in China, C.T. Studd, who was a professional level cricketer in England, he did in Africa, Africa Inland Missions. And he says, I pray, and I think this was true of Chuck, by the way, said, I pray that when I die, all hell will have a party to celebrate the fact that I am no longer in the fight. I love that thought. But hopefully, they won't celebrate long because they'll realize, oh, he multiplied himself. And now there's 1,000 of him. We got more on our hands than we ever thought. You know why? That's true with Pastor Chuck. Because somewhere way back in the 80s, Chuck said, I got an idea. Why don't we start a Bible college? And why don't we train more men and women for ministry around the world so we can absolutely, exponentially multiply ourselves and spread out around this world and touch more for Jesus Christ. You know, I believe with all of my heart that if we fill up this land with His story of the gospel, I believe that He'll fill this land with an outpouring of His Spirit. I guess you could say if we fill the land with His story, He just might fill this land with His glory in a new, fresh way. How many of you want that? I want that with all my heart. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to get into it in detail next week as we talk line upon line about what the gifts of the Spirit just might look like as they're operating in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, who's at this point, he's trying to untangle another little mess in Corinth. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. The word gifts, you see it in italics in your Bible. That means that word's not in the original Greek. It really would read, it sounds odd, but it would read, now concerning spirituals. So we translate that to mean, you know, the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Concerning spiritual things, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, and there were a lot of them in Greece, however you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what he does in these four verses. Listen to the breakdown of the working of the Holy Spirit through believers like you and like me. What we're going to read is going to give us all kinds of room for grace with one another. I know that I'm not like the preacher in the church that you came from. I'm sorry. But I can only be me. I can only do what I do the way that God has equipped me to do it. And we're different, aren't we? And some of us are more different than others, but we're all different, aren't we? And so he says this, there are diversities of gifts. It's the same Spirit. Not everybody gets the gift to prophesy. Not everybody gets the gift of a musical gift. Not everybody gets the gift of leadership. There are differences of gifts, diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but it's the same Lord. I love the progression here. You're going to get a different gift that I get, and out of that gift, if you operate in the gift of the Spirit that God gives you, the tools, the abilities, the calling that He gives you, If you use the gift that he gives you, it's going to look different on you than it does on me. It's going to look different through you than it does through me. There's a different kind of a ministry will arise from that. There could be 100 different people with the gift of hospitality, and it will look so different in their home or their retreat center or whatever it is that comes out of their heart. It will look different. So don't beat on them because it doesn't look the way that it does on you. And it just gives you freedom to let God build what he wants to build through you in a beautiful, unique way. That should be so encouraging. Differences of gifts, differences of ministries, it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And the activities, I think Paul is just saying it's right down to the way that it works out day by day. That gift of teaching or gift of preaching or gift of leadership or gift of whatever it is, prophecy, as it turns into a ministry and that ministry is worked out with different activities, just the way that it operates, it's going to look different. Praise God it looks different. That means that we're not a bunch of little automatic tin soldiers marching in lockstep as we follow Jesus. We're walking together in love, but it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what does it say? To each one. Let me ask you, are you one of the each one? How many of you are followers of Jesus? You're one of the each one. Something's been given to you. A manifestation, a gift of the Spirit, a tool of the Spirit. Same word that's used in Romans, I think it's chapter 6, where it says, don't yield your bodies as instruments of unrighteousness, but give them as instruments of righteousness to God. That word in the Greek for instruments can be translated tool, instrument, weapons, all kinds of things. But as God has given you a gift, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. I want you to say this out loud. This is not goofy. This is the truth. Say it with me. I'm gifted. I am gifted. Say it again. I'm gifted. You're gifted by God. There's no question if you're his child. He's given you a gift because he wants you to do something for him. He's put a tool in your hand to use for him. And maybe he'll give you one of those, maybe even tonight, you know, I got an idea. Maybe some of you, even on your way home, I want you to talk about this. On your way home, maybe say to one another, if you're in the same car, okay, if you're in different lanes, wait, call each other, text each other. But just say, has God given you any ideas that we could be praying about? Is there anything, any idea that he's put on your heart, any thoughts about how to touch somebody in his name? And it might be your own family. But the manifestations of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. Not for the profit of me, but for the profit of all, for the whole body. Later on, we'll get into it next week. It says that God's in charge of who gets the gifts and what gift you get. Now, you said it about yourself. This might even be more uncomfortable, but I want you to turn to somebody because I need to hear it from you now and tell them you're gifted too. I'm probably more gifted than, no, don't say that. Tell somebody beside you, you're gifted. You're gifted by God. You're gifted. You are gifted by him. You're gifted. You're gifted, Joy. And I know she's gifted. How many of you agree with me that my wife is a gifted lady? She's a gifted. Yeah. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do with the gifts? Well, let's give the devil fits by reaching people in Jesus' name, by loving one another. Oh, he hates that. He hates that. That, by the way, is not a gift. That's a commandment. You got a commandment. We're all called to love each other. We're all called to be patient with one another and to walk in love even as he loved us and gave himself for us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And is anybody tonight that would like prayer over just even discerning what that gift might be? I'm going to ask you to start right where you're at, right where you're seated. And say, God, show me what have you called me to do? What do I get to do for you? And if God's given you an idea and you know what it is. By the way, is there anybody here tonight that would say, yeah, the Lord has given me an idea that I think might be a ministry that he's called me into? Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Hear this from the Lord. What's your next step? What is your next step on that? What will you do about that tonight beyond praying? Who knows what that will turn into? I really do believe that if you're obedient to that and you follow that 8 years, And it's still developing through the Word. But if you follow that, and day after day, put one foot in front of the other, I don't know what it's going to look like throughout your life, but I really do believe that one day in heaven, people are going to come up to you and say, thank you for doing that. Thank you for being obedient. They may say, that helped me get through a hard time in my life, that little book that you wrote, that little poem that you posted on Facebook, or that little thing that you did that made all the difference in the world to me. They may come up and say, that got me here. It was through what you did that I heard about Jesus. Wouldn't that make it worth it? Even if it took you 10 years to get it off the ground? So, Father, we just want to respond to you tonight. And we want to respond to you tomorrow and the next day when you call us to follow your Spirit, to be led by your Spirit, inspired, Lord, thoughts that you breathe into our hearts. As the breath of God, the wind of the Spirit blows these ideas into our minds and our hearts. Lord, we don't want to get all spooky about it and ultra spiritual. We just want to follow you, Lord. So lead us, Father, by your Spirit. Now, Lord, as we pray for one another, as we worship you, we lay our lives out before you, God. Receive us and fill us and feed us and lead us, Lord. Inspire us to touch a world for you in Jesus' name.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.